Welcome to a special edition of Counsel for the State. I'm Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin. Today, we celebrate the 10th episode of our podcast by sitting down for a conversation about an issue I've dedicated much of my time and energy to as Attorney General: government transparency. This month, my office is once again working with Idahoans for Openness in Government to help educate citizens, journalists, and government officials on two important Idaho laws, the Open Meeting Law and the Public Records Law. We've been doing this for 15 years and have conducted nearly 50 seminars across the state. Joining the discussion is a prominent Idaho journalist, someone who also cares deeply about the issue of open government. I hope you stay tuned and join us for one of our upcoming seminars. Thank you for your interest in state government, my office, and transparency. With that, here's Counsel for the State host, Scott Graff.
Welcome to Counsel for the State. Thank you for downloading our podcast or listening online. Remember that all of our podcasts are available through several outlets and are all are archived at ag.idaho.gov. This is a special episode of the podcast today, in part because it is our 10th episode of Counsel for the State, and today we celebrate by delving into a topic that has been very near and dear to this office for years: government transparency. Specifically, we'll discuss Idaho's open meetings and public records laws. We do so as the office this month once again teams up with Idahoans for Openness in Government, also known as IDOG, to sponsor several seminars on these topics. They kicked off on October the 10th in McCall. They will continue in Boise on October the 21st in the evening, and also in Nampa on the evening of October the 24th. Today, we welcome to the podcast someone who has been involved in these issues for many years in the state of Idaho, Betsy Russell. As a longtime political reporter in our state, currently with the Idaho Press, and through her work with IDOG and the Idaho Press Club, Betsy is very well known for covering issues of government transparency and promoting compliance and understanding of these two important laws. Betsy, welcome to Counsel for the State.
Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate it because you're a little bit under the weather, so thanks for coming in when
I don't sound like myself.
You're playing hurt. And also with us today is Brian Kane, the Assistant Chief Deputy here in the Office of the Attorney General. He's co-creator of Counsel for the State. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you, Scott.
So, Betsy, let's start by discussing the reason that we picked this topic this month, and that is the annual seminars that are taking place in October. For those who are not familiar with the seminars, can you take a moment to sort of explain what they entail?
Sure. So this is training about the open meeting law and the public records law, and it's for a variety of different groups. It's for local and state government officials, it's for reporters and editors and people in the news media, and it's for members of the general public who are interested, and we're all there together learning about these really important basic open government laws that we have here in Idaho. And we have found that having us all together, learning together, has some benefits because it's helpful for everyone to have the same understanding of the law, including people who are requesting records, say, and those who are responding to those requests. And we've had really good luck with it. The seminars have a little bit of an unusual format. We do interactive skits. And people who attend, participants, are assigned roles, and those roles might be different from what they normally do in their daily life or their work. For example, a reporter might be portraying a public records clerk. A government official might be portraying a reporter trying to get into a closed meeting. And we have a few laughs along the way. We learn a lot of lessons. And I, even after all these years, learn something every time I participate in one of these seminars. The law changes from year to year, cases come up, and it's in all of our best interest to stay up to date and know the best practices so that we can all comply.
Betsy, can you take just a moment to talk about how long they've been going on and where the idea came from?
Sure. They started in 2004, and I really have to credit my IDOG co-founder, Dean Miller, who used to be the editor of the Post Register in Idaho Falls, with coming up with the idea for the skits. And they have since evolved. For example, even just this year, we've updated some of the skits to reflect some of the most recent issues we've had with public records and open meetings in the state of Idaho. But they, previous to that, there was some scattered training that went on, but it was all segmented. So government officials might have training, perhaps even from the Attorney General's office. Media groups might have training from their lawyer. There really wasn't much for citizens who just wanted to know about the law. There was nothing that brought all three of them together.
So, Brian, we started these in McCall on October the 10th, somewhere north of 70 people who attended. You, the Attorney General, and Betsy are the three folks who sort of conduct these and sit at the front of the room. Talk a little bit about sort of the experience when people walk out the door, what it is, you know, that you've offered to increase their understanding of these particular laws.
So my primary responsibility is I walk all of the participants through the entirety of the open meetings and public records law, everything from the definitional sections of the law to what does a meeting mean in the open meetings law to what is a public record under the public records law, and then how you operate under those as far as notice and agenda requirements for open meetings, how you can go into executive sessions, what happens if you mess up under the open meetings law, and then the same with public records law. How do you make a public records request? How long can government take to respond to a public records request? What happens if they don't respond? How do you deal with it if you don't like the response that you receive? And so we walk through all of those different scenarios, and then we answer a bunch of different questions that folks have. And I think, you know, the questions to me are always really informative because they show what is kind of at the forefront of elected officials, citizens, and journalists' minds as they work every single day under these two laws.
And a big part of your portion of the program, Brian, two PowerPoint presentations, the slides of which are printed and are part of a handout that folks can take with them as well, so they've got a resource.
And hopefully it's not a death by PowerPoint situation.
No, I think you do a good job of getting through the PowerPoint.
It's still PowerPoint, though.
Interestingly and effectively.
The timing is that the Attorney General starts us off. We have some stories, we have some introductions, we do our play, our skits on those topics, we learn some lessons from those, and then Brian does a PowerPoint and gives the details, and then we take all the questions that everybody there has that have come up from the skits or from the PowerPoint or from any of the comments from any of the presenters. And by the end, we've kind of gotten around to it all.
So Betsy, you have the benefit of kind of the long view of this from 2004 when this got started now until 2019. What effect do you feel like the seminars have been able to have on this topic area in our state?
This has absolutely made a difference. I think there is much more public knowledge about the open meeting law and the public records law in the state of Idaho now than there was before 2004. And we have seen that borne out in the number of complaints that are filed and in the reactions that citizens or reporters get when they file requests or when they try to attend public meetings. On the other hand, it's not perfect and there are still problems, and that's why we have to keep doing this.
And I think the other thing that's happened is we've seen a little bit of a legal evolution within the law. I mean, there are a couple of areas where I think that based on these IDOG seminars, citizens have contacted legislators and say, hey, we can do these portions better. A good example is I think that the recent change to the open meeting law requiring identification of action items on agendas kind of came through these IDOG seminars with folks saying, hey, we show up for a meeting and all of a sudden they're having a vote and we had no idea that the vote was occurring this quickly or at this meeting. And so I think that, you know, if you think about these seminars as creating an informed and involved citizenry, they really do that because it provides that both that knowledge basis and that platform to have that informed discussion with their elected representatives.
So, Brian, while you have the microphone, we mentioned the event focuses on the two laws, the Idaho Open Meeting Law and the Public Records Law. Can you sort of zoom out a little bit and discuss them broadly, perhaps their history and why you as a government official in our state feel like they're important?
Certainly. So I think that, I mean, it's hard to take both laws at the same time. So I'll start with the open meeting law. And the open meeting law actually originated from a movement within the press in the early 60s. And there was a movement among the press, and they went around kind of from state to state and proposed the first open meetings laws. And then a natural outgrowth of that were public records laws. And it was the fact that, you know, citizens and journalists said, hey, we deserve to see how government operates and to understand how these decisions are being reached. It was kind of the beginning of the end, if you will, for the smoke-filled room of decision making. And so out of that, these laws came. And interestingly enough, the earliest open meetings and public records law laws simply said something to the effect of, you know, meetings shall be open. And that was it. And nobody knew what that meant or how it applied. And
it's pretty vague.
And then they've kind of evolved over time. And in Idaho, a North Idaho legislator, Gary Ingram, kind of wrote the more modern version that framed out the current Open Meetings Law Act. And, you know, it starts with the premise that all government business should be transacted openly. And that within our office has generated kind of a saying of, when in doubt, open the meeting. And so if there's ever any doubt as to whether or not you should have an open meeting, we recommend folks come down on the cautionary side of safety and just have an open meeting. You are allowed to go into executive session, and there's very specific limitations on when and how you do that. But that's kind of the broad overview of the open meetings law. I like to refer to the open meetings law as your ticket to the show of government, meaning you get to observe, not necessarily participate, but it guarantees you that ability to see what's going on in government. The public records law has a fairly similar genesis. And again, in Idaho, you know, the very earliest public records law was, I think it was something to the effect of, government records are public. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And out of that, we have kind of spawned a lot of exceptions. I mean, at this point in time, we have more than 100 different exemptions from the public records law. And I think it's important to understand that in Idaho, every record of government starts out as a public record. The question then is whether or not an exemption applies to that record. And so I think that sometimes folks want to say that a record is exempt without understanding, no, you start from the premise that every record is public. And the other thing to keep in mind about Idaho is we are a content-based record state, meaning you determine whether a record is public not by whether it was created in government or on government computers, but what is the content. If the content of that record transacts public business, then it's a public record. That means that, you know, if you're doing government work by text, those texts are probably public records. And I think that, to me, that shows a little bit of the dynamic nature of the public records law, right? It evolves without requiring a legislative amendment with technology. And that I think that that's something that, I don't know if the folks who drafted it had that foresight, but it's certainly a nice benefit of the way that the law was drafted.
So you consider the open meeting law a ticket to the show. The public records law is?
That's your fishing license.
Fishing license.
Fish you're catching are public records.
Betsy, who do these two laws apply to?
Well, they apply to everyone. And, you know, sometimes people think of open meeting laws and public records laws as being just for the press. They're not by any means. They are about how our government works. And as a member of the press, as a reporter, I use them all the time. They are what enables me to do my job of covering government well, because I can get access to information and report it out to the citizens. And really, the citizens are what these laws are all about. The citizens actually own the government. You know, this is our government, all of us. And these ensure that we have access to its operations.
Betsy, as a journalist, I know that you network with other journalists across the country, and I'm sure you over the years have compared notes on what's your state's public records law like, or your state's open meeting law. Mm-hmm. In our state, how do these two laws compare to those of other states?
Well, I was talking with a reporter from Oregon recently, and their open meeting law permits reporters to attend closed executive sessions, but forbids them from reporting on them. That seems a little weird to me. It kind of smacks of prior restraint. And so this reporter told me, well, at the end of the meeting, you can ask, can I report on this? And, you know, usually they'll say yes. That's a little awkward to me. I don't know, but that's, you know, you get used to whatever culture you're in.
But I think to me that actually threads an interesting needle that has always been kind of a difficulty within executive sessions, and that is, you know, and it goes all the way back to Socrates, who's to guard the guardians? Mm-hmm. And so if you go into an executive session, how do we know that that executive session stays on topic? And this summer, we actually kind of had a very obvious example of an executive session that didn't stay on topic, and we dealt with that. But the only way that we found out about it was because a recording had been made of that, and it was provided in response to a public records request. And so I think, you know, yeah, the Oregon probably puts you as a journalist in an awkward position, but it also addresses kind of a core transparency issue of, hey, is somebody actually monitoring to make sure these things stay on track?
That's true. And I have had people ask me, well, what does it matter if you have all these laws saying they can only do this or that in a closed meeting if you can't go in there and you really don't know what they're saying? If you don't trust them to follow the law and there's no public in there to listen, how do we know? And the answer is we don't.
And I think, Betsy, you raise such an important point, and you use the word trust. And I like to refer to that as confidence. And what is our confidence in government? And if you look at charts over time, citizen confidence in government has actually been on the decline. And I think that things like the public records law and the open meetings law, if governments were to embrace them as openly as they could, I think that we could start to see that trend line start to tick back upwards with regard to confidence because of the level of trust, as you've identified, that's built into that.
Mm-hmm. And with regard to the public records law, there are some ways in which our public records law here in Idaho is very good. It has a very strong presumption of openness. All records are open unless a specific statutory exemption says they're not. That's why we have so many exemptions, because they're supposed to be narrow and specific. And I think that's a good thing. A bad thing about our public records law compared to many other states is that the sole remedy for an improper denial of a public record is for the person who gets the denial to get a lawyer and go to court.
And that's a problem because?
That's very expensive. It's prohibitive for a lot of people to do. Now, some people can go to court and represent themselves, and we had a very recent example of that. There was a story just the other day in the Idaho Press about a citizen from Caldwell who tried to get some public records from the Middleton School District, and the citizen's request was denied inappropriately. Clearly inappropriately. And the records were either heavily redacted, completely denied, or withheld pending payment of fees in excess of $3,000. This citizen, representing himself, went to court and sued, and he won. And the court looked at the records and said, these are not exempt. The school district has to turn them over. And the school district said, court, you're right. And we're going to do a better job. We're going to learn about the public records law. The personnel who were handling that are not with us anymore. And I did notice that several people from that school district signed up to attend our upcoming iDogs.
Oh, is that right? Good, yes. Good. That's coming up Monday, October the 21st in Boise, and then Thursday, October the 24th in Nampa. Registration information is available at Betsy's iDog website, which is, Betsy? OpenIdaho.org.
OpenIdaho.org. And also on that website, you will find kind of an online version of our seminars. We call it our User's Guide to Idaho's Open Government Laws. And there you'll see links to the Attorney General's Open Meeting Law and Public Records Laws manuals, Brian's sterling PowerPoints, and also versions of the skits that we do at our seminars, performed by actors from the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. Okay. So they're kind of fun.
Betsy, just from a nuts and bolts perspective, for someone who doesn't necessarily understand how the open meeting law, or perhaps more specifically for this question, the public records law, allows you to do your job, can you maybe give an example of how you have used the public records law to enhance your reporting?
Sure. And I use it day in and day out. But a recent story that I did looked at a large quantity of public records, public data really, regarding state employees, because I was curious about the use of paid administrative leave in state government after a high-ranking official went on paid leave for a month, then came back, and there was no explanation. And there's no explanation because it was a personnel matter, it was exempt from disclosure. But what's not exempt from disclosure are the basic records about how many employees were paying and how many of them were on leave. And I was able, by requesting through the state controller's data, to get all of that information over a large period of time and document just how much it was paid administrative leave was being used in state government. And it's a lot more than people might think. And as a result, there are some legislators and the governor taking a look at this, and there might be changes.
And as you answer the question, we have a very special guest who has joined us for the portion of the podcast yet remaining, and that is the Attorney General himself, Lawrence Wasden. Lawrence, we didn't think you were going to be able to make it. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks. I had some other things going on, but I was able to rearrange my schedule and was able to show up.
So this is a topic that, in our introduction, I said is near and dear to this office and has been for years. It is because it's near and dear to your heart, and you happen to be the straw that stirs the drink here around here. So why is this an issue that is something that you've sort of championed and taken up over the years?
The public records law and the open meeting law really are important because it allows the citizens to interact, watch, and review what government does. That's important because in a representative democracy, a Republican form of government, having an educated and knowledgeable public is critical. One of the great measures of our society is public involvement, and one of the great detriments actually is public involvement, or really the lack thereof, and that is informed citizenry are the ones that can help us help themselves have government move forward in a positive way. And so that's why it's important to have open meetings and public records.
We were just discussing the longevity of the seminars going back 15 years. You've been in state government going back to the late 1980s. Talk about, from your perspective, how the advent of these IDOG and Office of the Attorney General seminars have sort of increased understanding of these two laws in our state.
Well, certainly. I want to just make one, you talk about my involvement with state government. One of the first assignments I had as an attorney, a deputy attorney general assigned to the state tax commission, was to write the requirements for the public records and open meetings law. They had to have a series of procedures, and I wrote those right at the outset of all of that. So it's been an important issue for me since day one. But this came to fruition in terms of the IDOG training. I was complaining as the Attorney General about some of the issues that we have to deal with, and I happened to be talking to an editorial writer at the Post Register, and he was complaining about the same thing, and so we kind of put our heads together and came up with this format. And he was interested in seeing that state government officials were and local officials were informed, and I am interested in that too, but I also felt like it was important to see that members of the media have the opportunity to have the same kind of training. And a third category of persons was the citizens at large, because oftentimes they're confused. There's federal FOIA issues, for example, but those don't fit under our Public Records Act. So making certain that we had government officials, the media, and also citizens all trained at the same time on the same information helps us because it reduces the number of conflicts caused by misunderstanding about what the rules actually are. I think Betsy would even agree that we've been able to do that. I think she was present on the first time we held one of these trainings. There was a big fight between a school district and a local government. And we made our presentation, we had a break, and I happened to walk out in the break, and there was the member of the media and the member of the school district actually talking to each other, which they were in a big fight, but so that they could talk to each other and work from the same sheet of music actually is a helpful thing. Even if we disagree, at least we know, you know, what the chorus is, and that's helpful.
Betsy, a question for you. The legislature's job in this arena is, I think, a little bit inherently challenging because they have to sort of balance, they have to write laws to balance the amount of transparency with also the ability for government to do its job effectively and perhaps in some cases not let in too much sunshine. How do you feel as a state, historically, Idaho has done with that balancing act?
I think it's an up and down record over the years. I do think it's improving, but as we're currently seeing with the lawsuit, and I should disclose here as the president of the Idaho Press Club, lawsuit, Idaho Press Club versus Ada County, which is about public records, that there are issues to be explored here. And some may go to some gray areas in our existing law, but for the most part, I think they go to lack of understanding and to sometimes improper interpretation. We heard at the recent court hearing in that very lawsuit that many of the county's motivations in withholding or very extensively redacting some of the records that it had been requested to give to reporters had to do with fear of being sued, interpretations of various fairly obscure Idaho Supreme Court cases that they thought suggested there were privacy concerns that are not covered in the public records law. Basically, it wasn't that necessarily, as maybe reporters might suspect or be prone to think, that they were being malicious or that they were trying to hide the ball from the citizens. They felt, based on their interpretation, that they were doing the right thing. We felt that based on the public records law, they were not. Now, that case is pending, and we'll see how it comes out. And you know, if there are gray areas in the law, it's always good that they be made more sharp and more clear. But our law is pretty clear. The presumption of openness is very basic. And that is, I think, not only one of the best things about our public records law, but one of the best things about Idaho. This stretches back even to before we had a public records or open meeting law. In our Constitution, it talks about sunshine and letting the light of day in and no secret sessions of the legislature. We have always had a lot of citizen access to our government in Idaho, in part because we're a small state. I mean, you go to a bigger state, and to contact your legislator or some other official, you might have to go through layers and layers of staffers. Here you can actually get your public official and talk to him personally or get him on the phone. And I think Idahoans treasure that.
Yeah, as a follow-up to Betsy's comment, it's important to recognize that under the public records law that the remedy for a failure is to do what Betsy's talking about, as to bring an action in court to obtain the public records. As the Attorney General, we're not a participant in that lawsuit. I just want to make sure that that's very clear. We're not participating. We don't have the facts. We're not giving any advice to anyone. So we're not really participating in that lawsuit. But at the same time, we oftentimes have citizens who contact us, and they want us to do something. They want us to make the local school district or some other district produce the records. The problem is we don't have any authority to do that. The only entity that can alter that is the legislature. We cannot simply assume to have authority that the legislation prohibits us from having. So the sole remedy is for the requester of the records to file an action in court. They can do that themselves. But I just want to make sure that that's very clear, that we don't have the authority. We're not the super overseer of public records.
And this is an area that I mentioned earlier really is one of the shortcomings of our law, that is the sole remedy. In many states, there is some kind of intermediate level of appeal, whether it's an administrative appeal, an ombudsman who can work with the parties, the government agency, and the requesters, and give a little legal advice, try to mediate these things. We don't have that here in our state. We might in the future. It will be a good thing. This is something we've talked about a lot,
At one point, the
governor's office did have an attorney in their office, Cal Younger, who was designated as a public records ombudsman. The legislature had not passed enacting legislation, so she had no formal authority, but she played an informal role in that people who were having trouble getting records could contact her. She could contact the agency, kind of weigh things. And if she thought that the record was being improperly denied, she could tell the agency that. They weren't bound by her decision. But even that informal role could be very helpful, because citizens basically feel like they have nowhere to turn when they're denied, except going to court. Now, the problem with that was when she left the office, she wasn't replaced, and we haven't had that in some time. And there are other states that have that function under the Attorney General's office. There are states that have a public records commission. There are a lot of different models to set up some kind of intermediate level of appeal, and I hope that eventually we here in Idaho will get there.
Brian, question for you. As a member of the state's attorney's office, the AG's office, we represent numerous departments, agencies, offices, boards, commissions, et cetera, across state government. You play a very prominent role, perhaps the most prominent role in this office in terms of doing outreach. You also do it for other lower-level government bodies from time to time. I'm curious, when you're working with people who are new to state government, how steep is the learning curve when it comes to these two laws?
The learning curve is steep. And in part, it's because the minute you get appointed or you get elected, you're presumed to know the law and you have to fully comply with the law on day one. There isn't, you know, a 2-week training period where you're like,
where you get a mulligan.
I didn't understand the law. Although I will say, you know, you bring up the term mulligan. The open meeting law in particular has a cure provision that understands, I think, and I think that this is why it's in there, that largely Idaho government, particularly when you get to elected positions and political subdivisions, it's a volunteer part-time endeavor for a lot of folks, right? There aren't very many what I would call professional career type politicians involved in Idaho government at any level. And I think that the cure provision reflects that, right? We understand that you're coming to government and you've got a background and you may not be familiar with this law. And so when you mess up, we want to give you the ability to say, hey, I messed up. This is a learning opportunity. This is how we get it right. And I think that helps lessen the learning curve, and it gives folks the ability to comply. And one of the things that we say at almost every single one of our sessions is the goal of these laws is not litigation. The goal of these laws is compliance, right? We're not looking to hammer folks. We're looking to encourage and incentivize compliance. If you go all the way back to kind of our opening comments, you know, if government were to embrace the openness a little bit more, I think that we'd see a kind of turnaround in confidence in government, because we fill in the blanks of what we don't know with negative inferences. And so the more open that we can be, the less unknown there is, which detracts from that negative inference and builds confidence.
These government agencies, for instance, in state government, if there's an open meeting question, folks knock on your door and you are the attorney that helps counsel them, or there's other attorneys in the office that do as well. City attorneys have that role for city councils, et cetera. School boards have attorneys. You're very well networked in the legal community in the state of Idaho. How well do you feel like Idaho's legal community understands these laws, and how effectively do they counsel these boards and other groups across the state?
I think that there's quite a bit of consistency, and I think that part of the way that consistency is achieved is, you know, one of the things that I think these IDOG seminars have done, as well as the outreach of Attorney General Wasden, is we've decreased what I would call the siloed nature of government. And so there are a lot of attorney-to-attorney conversations that occur with regard to open meetings law and public records law. And I think that sharing of knowledge and that de-siloing of governmental functions to a large degree has enabled more understanding and better compliance with the laws.
Betsy, when you briefly touched on this earlier, but when things do go awry, do you feel like more often it's with malicious intent on the government's part, or do you think it stems from a lack of understanding because these aren't necessarily the easiest laws to fully comprehend?
Well, you know, as a reporter, I might be a little bit cynical. I might immediately jump to the conclusion that it's malicious, that they're corrupt, they're trying to hide the ball. But often it does turn out to be more about a lack of understanding of the law. And to their credit, Ada County, even as they're in litigation over these matters, Ada County is hosting our upcoming IDOG seminar in Boise. It will be held in the large first floor public hearing room at the Ada County administrative offices, and Ada County Clerk Phil McGrain will be giving the opening co-sponsor's welcome. So we can see that the county actually does care about openness and wants to get this resolved appropriately as well.
Lawrence?
Yeah, I was going to follow up on something that Brian was talking about, and that's the cure provision. As a government official, it's sometimes embarrassing to admit that you made a mistake, but I have personally gone through this, actually even before the cure provision came into existence, and I talk about that at the seminar, and it is embarrassing to have to say, well, we messed up. But it's better for government to do that, to acknowledge that you made a mistake, and then fix that mistake. And the end result is a whole lot better than if you refuse. And so that fosters compliance with this law. And it isn't necessarily easy, but it is the right thing to do, and it's the best thing to do. and it avoids all of the penalties, and what it does is it gets the proper stuff done. And that's what we ought to be about in government.
Brian, in addition to the seminars that are taking place this month, what other resources are out there for Idahoans who are interested in these two topics?
So I think that probably the best resources that are out there are the Attorney General's manuals. And we've got a manual on both the Idaho Open Meeting Law and the Idaho Public Records Law. You can find those online at our website. Betsy's organization, Idahoans for Openness in Government, they've got a fantastic website, and that will take you through. It's got the manuals, it's got the seminars, it's got the skits, it's got the PowerPoints, if you like to just sit at home and click through PowerPoint, as some folks like to do for fun and adventure. But I mean, the resources are definitely out there. And then, you know, the other thing for elected officials is they pretty regularly, as part of their annual conferences and whatnot, have at least some segment devoted to either public records or open meetings law or both. And so I think that those are all great resources for this information.
And the manual's on our website. If you just go to the Office of the Attorney General's homepage, you can Google Idaho Attorney General and then scroll down beneath the big picture of the Attorney General himself, and there's a series of buttons there. Click on the button that says manuals and you'll be taken right to the list. There's about 12 or so manuals that the office
has
produced.
Just a word about those two manuals, the Open Meeting Law Manual and the Public Records Law Manual. I think they're wonderful. You can find them online, but it's so handy to have the little booklets. As a reporter, I always like to have them on my desk or in my bag, and everyone who attends an iDog seminar leaves with a copy of each of them.
Yeah, and the other thing I should say is we print those here in the office, and if you're listening to the podcast and you would prefer a hard copy, as Betsy does, just get a hold of us and we can drop those in the mail and get them headed your way. Brian or Lawrence, I'll leave this to either one of you. For your years in government, sort of counseling those on these two laws, and not just in state government, but at any level in government, have you come across people who are in government, working for government, who just don't want to follow these, who don't look at these in a positive light like Betsy and the rest of us do?
I have run across those individuals. I would say they're rare. I think most government officials of all levels of government in Idaho really care about doing their job properly. Sometimes they make mistakes, sometimes they have misunderstandings, but for the most part, they are serious about complying with the law. There are a couple of outliers that for personal reasons or whatever, just simply want to not comply, and they see it burdensome, and the answer is tough luck, Charlie. It is the law, and we have to comply. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the state of Idaho, and the laws of this state. So I have an obligation to comply, and I've tried to show some leadership in that arena. I hope I have, but it's also to help citizens and the media and state government and local government officials all understand the law and to comply with that. In terms of openness, there's a couple of plugs I'd like to give. One of them is that in addition to the Open Meeting and Public Records manuals, we have the Ethics Manual, Government Ethics Manual, that is a green one, that would also be helpful, and that you can access that online. And I also want to make a plug for a previous podcast, and that was with the State Controller, and they've now put the state checkbook online. I think that is a very, very healthy thing. The citizens can look and see how the state's spending its money. So there is an effort to open up government, let people take a look inside.
Yeah, and folks who want to see the controller's new website launch this year, just go to Google and search Transparent Idaho or Transparency Idaho, and it will be the first result. We've reached the point in the podcast where we probably need to wrap up and let everybody get to the rest of their days. Betsy, would you like to take a moment and offer some final thoughts on these two laws in our state?
Well, these laws are incredibly important, but they only work if people follow them. And so it's important to me, and I hope it's important to everyone in Idaho, that we learn about and understand these laws. And one way to do that is to come to these free iDog seminars. There are even refreshments. You just need to RSVP. Go to openidaho.org.
Yep, and they're coming up on Monday, October 21st at the Ada County Courthouse beginning at 6 p.m. and then on Thursday, October 24th at Nampa City Hall, also starting at 6 p.m. openidaho.org is the website for more information, including the registration information. Brian, final thoughts?
I would just say that, you know, one of the most important features of our republic is an informed, engaged citizenry. And these two laws provide the platform from which citizens can be informed and engaged. And I think that, you know, if folks don't take advantage of them, they're not serving the laws or the republic the way that they're intended to. And I think it's something that we really have to work hard to preserve. And these give us that ability to do that work and to be engaged and informed.
And Mr. Attorney General, sir, last but not least.
Yeah, I think that it's important to recognize how valuable these are, these statutes, the Open Meeting Law and the Public Records Act. It's important for government officials, and I'll speak from that perspective, it's just do it. Just comply. That's the easy thing to do. Even if it's more cumbersome, we expect government to be cumbersome. We expect it to be difficult. And the reason is because we have an open society. It'd be a whole lot easier to just do everything behind closed doors. But that's not the American way. That's not how we have a representative government. So represent. That is, people get to see things that you don't always want them to see. But it is the way in which government makes decisions, and it's also the documents that support that. So it's pretty simple, and that is to government officials, I say, do it. Just do it. And that is also, in today's world, there's a lot of acrimony. And to citizens and to media and to the government officials, we can act without the acrimony. We can disagree without being disagreeable. And that actually helps these functions work better, the public meetings and open records. So let's do it, and let's just be nice to each other.
Attorney General Lawrence Waston. General, we appreciate your schedule freeing up to get you with us. Thank you for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
And Brian Kane, the Deputy Attorney General here in the Office of the Attorney General, thanks to you as always as well.
Thank you, Scott.
And Idaho Press political reporter and president of Idahoans for Openness in Government, Betsy Russell, thanks for your time. Thanks for being here when you're not feeling well. We appreciate your insights very much.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. So remember, if you would like to learn more about Idaho's open meetings and public records laws, there are two seminars remaining. Again, we'll be in Boise coming up on Monday, October the 21st at the Ada County Courthouse. It starts at 6 p.m. Nampa City Hall on Thursday the 24th, also starting at 6 p.m. Registration, RSVP is preferred. You can find out those details at openidaho.org. That is the iDog website. And this is a four-year cycle for the seminars. Next year, we will take these on the road to the eastern part of our great state. And with that, we'll wrap up our 10th episode of Council for the State. Remember, Council for the State is available at ag.idaho.gov. Episodes are also available through iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play Music. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.